It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Kaleidoscope Gallery, and the first in a new series called Conversations. And in this installment, Kaleidoscope Gallery contributor Dave and myself, Paul, chat about commemorating prayers on the blockchain as an NFT, the Florida Man Challenge, sleepwalkers and construction crane climbers, the evacuation of the crowd at a recent Toronto Raptors game, the ensuing uncontrolled laughter, and the connection to a former porn star. A scheme to drill the deepest hole into the earth in a quest for unlimited energy. And more. So let's get into this conversation inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery. Are you okay? Yeah, are you? You can see my screen right now, right?
Oh, I was looking at the other window here. Now, yes, I can see your screen now.
Because earlier today, I sent you a picture. I found an ad on Facebook. Actually, let me get my phone so I can read you the text of this visual ad that I saw on Facebook. Yes, so here it is. It's an advertisement. It says, "Eternalize your prayers to the Lord. Eternal prayer is a Christian service that will commemorate your prayers for all of eternity on the blockchain. We also, complimentary as part of our service, mint a unique NFT for your prayer that you can keep forever." And the call to action button says, "Hit pray now." And I was like, this can't be real.
Pray now.
Yeah. And I looked for the website, and here we are at eternalprayer.org. And for $19.99 US dollars, you can like save a prayer forever on the blockchain as an NFT.
Of course, man. I see that the letter on that web page is signed by someone named Trevor.
Yes, this is, please, guys. So this is Trevor's prayer that he has.
Oh, Trevor is like a user example.
Yeah, this is Trevor's prayer that has been, as they say, has been permanently inscribed on the blockchain and has been created as an NFT. So this prayer, which we don't necessarily have to read, it's just some kind of well-wishing for their family and everything is great and all that. But I guess $20, eh?
Wow. Trevor really has made a beautiful prayer. I've actually thought that my favorite potential for the NFTs is not prayers, but a little bit close, and that I think it's the only way that poetry can be monetized. Because there's always someone who loves a poem, but there's never a lot of people who love it. And you could, and if you could own it kind of like a painting, which you can't really do by trying to sell books, because nobody buys poetry books. It's just impossible to make a living, but you could potentially use that as a great monetization tool by creating originals, bringing originals to poetry, original versions.
Yeah, sure. I think that like NFTs are going to be great for, and are actually good for all art types. But there are some questions about NFTs, and it's a complicated subject. There's a common misconception that you know, because you can sort of copy and paste, say, a JPEG that was an NFT, then it's not really legitimate because all I can do is just copy it. But you don't own it because it's not on the blockchain. But yeah, but I was just, it seems like anything can be turned into an NFT. I mean, and I like that idea of like these prayers. Like, I mean, if you want to get into heaven, one way to maybe do it is to secure your prayer on the blockchain.
I think that's true. I think that's what they're saying. But heaven right now just costs $20 for access. By like 2030, it's going to cost, you know, at least $50.
Plus, that's just a sales funnel. Like, getting into heaven is one thing, but like being able to access all of the services and all of the benefits.
I hear heaven has the best music festivals. So $20 is not that bad.
That's true. That's true. That's true. So have you heard of the type into Google the two words Florida man and then your date of birth phenomena? Now I'll show you. We're going to go over to Google here. And
the Florida man phenomenon is the roots of it, I think, it's like a journalist handicap, you know, or it's not a
You mean it's like a shorthand?
It's an easy way to create a story, right? Because everybody likes to hear about what the Florida man did. So you just, if you don't have anything to write about, you just like start reading Florida local news and suddenly you have a national story.
Okay, that could be it. Because here we go. I'm going to type in Florida man and my birthday, which is December 25th, okay? And you can see the screen, Dave? So we got a new story here. It says Florida man, this happened on December 25th.
That's a high crime day because it's Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I typed in the 25th. My birthday's the 24th. Hello? Okay.
Florida man forgets his own birthday.
Yeah. Okay, no, I okay.
That's the top story of CNN this night.
Okay, December 24th. And the top story is Florida man bites his brother's penis off after he walks on in on his brother having sex with his, and I think we'll just leave it there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and also Florida man. Like this all happened on December 24th. Florida man arrested for tossing golf clubs into highway traffic.
Punching trooper.
Whoa. This also happened on December 24th. Florida man with drugs around penis denies they were his.
Here's the thing. It's like local news. Think about how many billions of people there are on the planet. Of course, you know, the majority of them are nuts, there's plenty who are just the things that would, you know, fill up local newscasts. Like people who sit there and watch their local news, like,
right,
oh, there's a fire on 6th Street and Joe Beth got abducted again and home invasion at the Cantleys. I don't know.
There's enough things going on in the world that if you type in Florida man plus your birthday date, you're likely going to find something just because of the sheer number of like incidents that are going on. Let's put it, you're May 29th. Now, right? Yeah. May 29th.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so I typed in May 20th, Florida man, May 29th. Ooh, and we got a good one here. Fox News, Florida man arrested for allegedly throwing corn cob at moms that it cuts off their mom's head.
Oh.
That's pretty serious.
Allegedly. There were no witnesses? You can't throw
well,
a baby.
Well, no, you can't. Everything is alleged until it's been proven in court. But yeah, apparently this 27-year-old hurled an ear of corn at his mother's head.
That's just disrespectful.
Well, yeah, it was a bit of a kerfuffle, apparently.
If you're really pissed off, I could understand if you threw a niblet. But a cob, you know, that's aggressive.
Yeah. So you got a pretty good one there. So May 29th, 2019, the Miami Herald. Florida man refuses to flush toilet.
Okay, I'm getting another theory here. It's not just scraping the Florida local news. If you use the word Florida man, it's like a license to make the story up completely. Yeah, Florida man forgets to flush toilet. What the fuck? How did you find that out?
Yeah, and like, how did it make the news? How is that news? In other words,
it's clickbait, right? It's early clickbait, or it's been around.
It's newspaper style clickbait.
Yeah, it's you can't resist. Like, I want to know what happened with the alligator and the golf clubs or whatever. It's outrageous. The other thing that I wonder is, what about all the Florida women and children? They don't do anything crazy?
Ah, a good question. So we have to type in your birthday plus Florida woman. Yeah,
type in Florida woman. And that's like a... there'll be a clear sense of whether they do Florida woman stories.
Okay. Here we go. So, let's see. Florida woman, let's see.
Women jailed a station wagon.
So, yeah, 1967, women jailed...
25 kids in a station wagon.
Oh, wow. Now, that goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. So, like, this is one, January... Wait, hold on. Did we get the right date here? Yeah, we did. But, yeah, so it looks like the Florida woman story. It doesn't work as well, though. Not for your birthday. Let's see if mine, maybe, it's...
No. I think Marvel should introduce a new superhero, Florida Man.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Here's an interesting story that I found, and it's I'll put it to you here. Or did I already have it open? Let me see. Yeah. The story is from Britain, and it's from a few years ago, but I found it interesting because I was talking about sleepwalking, thinking about sleepwalking. How kind of strange that is. And here's a story about sleepwalker found snoozing on crane.
On a bird?
On a construction crane.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. A teenage girl was rescued after being found fast asleep on 130 feet above the ground, police have confirmed. A passerby spotted the sleepwalker curled up on top of a concrete counterweight and called emergency services. The person, who's not being identified, climbed up the crane and walked across a narrow beam, but all in her sleep. And when they came to rescue her, the rescuer was very, she was just like curled up, comfortable, snoozing away, little Z's coming out of her head. And the rescuer was concerned to not wake her while he was rescuing her, because she would, you know, suddenly wake up and realize, oh my God, I'm 130 feet in the air. Now that's strange, right?
Yeah, that's really strange. I mean, I've heard of sleepwalking, but why would you go to a crane and walk up and then go to sleep on top of the crane?
Yeah, indeed. Like, what subconscious reason would you have for that?
Get to the highest point. Maybe it's some kind of ancient bird instinct.
Or maybe it's when we dream, of like archetypes. So you might dream you're climbing the mountain, and that could symbolize, you know, achieving your goals, or, you know, and maybe in a dream, if you were to dream that you climbed up a crane, it would symbolize something like, you know, having control over things you were building in your life, you know, symbolically. But in her case, she actually acted that out, and her body, even though she was like, her eyes were closed, or she was actually asleep, she was still able to.
Are sleepwalkers' eyes closed? Because, like, sometimes don't they go to the fridge, or, you know, they're navigating space. Like, she clearly had her eyes open if she didn't fall off the crane, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. So here's, sleepwalkers' eyes are open, but they don't see the same way they do when they're awake. And this is from the first site that came up.
That makes more sense.
Which is the NHS.UK. Yeah, so, right, because you're right. Otherwise, how would they? You have to have your eyes open somewhat.
Do you think that Mark Zuckerberg is a sleepwalker and that's why he wants to create the metaverse? Because sleepwalking is a special metaverse for him? Why do I feel like he is a sleepwalker? He sleepwalks through his campus like a zombie, and the employees, like, oh, I think they all laugh at him. And then when he wakes up, they're all really nice to him again.
Yeah, have you ever had a sleepwalking incident?
No, I've never witnessed it. I've never experienced it.
I have.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so one day I woke up and I went to leave my... I lived in an apartment this time by myself, at this point by myself. And I woke up when I went to leave, I saw on the threshold of the door, there was carefully laid out 6 guitar strings. Just laid out kind of perfectly in a row. I was like, that's really strange. Those are my guitar strings. How did they get there? So I was puzzled by it. I just put the strings away and I went on with my day. Well, the next day rolls around and the same thing. Strings laid perfectly, guitar strings laid perfectly at the threshold of the door. Okay, so then the third night rolls around, and I wake up, and I come to, I become conscious, and there I am, laying strings down in front of my door. I wake up doing it and realizing, holy, that's been me the whole time. It's been putting those strings there.
But is that the first and only sleepwalking incident in your history, or is this like a regular thing?
No, that's the only one that's ever happened that I recall or remember or experienced in any way that I can relate.
But it's entirely possible you've also gone to the top of the crane and gone to sleep.
Well, yes, but there would have to be evidence of that. In this case, there was the strange evidence of guitar strings appearing in a very strange place. And that happened twice. If I was a regular sleepwalker, I'd see all sorts of strange things around, strange evidence.
I wonder what the sleepwalking program is designed for.
You mean, what function does it serve in for humanity? Because clearly we have an amazing ability to be unconscious yet do things such as climb up a crane, 130-foot crane, mind you. And this person was a young woman, 15 years old.
How did she get up there? Was there stairs, or did she throw like a one of those grappling hooks up and pull herself up by a rope?
Well, actually, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I have another story on sleepwalking, cranes, to share with you that may give us some idea on that. And there was a couple years ago in Toronto, a woman described as a very adventurous person who that after a night of drinking, decided consciously that this person's awake to climb up the top of a crane because, see this? You can see this crane here. This is a typical construction crane, which is...
But someone's sitting on the hook.
But this person, this 22-year-old woman, climbed up the crane via this construction. You can see there actually is, as you say, ladders. So you can service parts of the crane, but this person climbed up the top of those ladders of the structure to the top of the crane where there was a hook, and you could see the hook there. But what happened was when she went to sat on the hook lowered itself, And she became stuck on this hook 9-10 stories up and had to be rescued. And it turns out, as when she went to court because they charged her with mischief, that she was what they call, see if I can look at the sentence properly. It's people who climb up abandoned buildings and go to the height, climb up to roofs just for the sake of climbing up to roofs or climbing up high places, like to feel a rush.
Vertigo junkies.
Yeah, vertigo junkies. And you actually brought up that term, and you described that in another upcoming episode, which is about daredevils and stuntmen jumping off the CN Tower. And also, there's something about Super Dave Osborne in there, too.
Oh, anything about Super Dave Osborne. Major shout out to Super Dave Osborne. Everybody tune in. Let's talk about Super Dave Osborne.
We do bring up Super Dave Osborne in this episode.
I'd like to say that again. Super Dave Osborne.
Not to be confused with Super Dave yourself.
I'm an inferior stuntman.
Breaking news, Scotiabank Arena has been evacuated due to a fire in a speaker, interrupting tonight's Raptors game. CP24's Bakari Savage is there. He joins us now with all the details. And my understanding is, Bakari, the game has now resumed.
Yeah, the game is back on. They've gotten the all clear to have people back inside of Scotiabank Arena, but there's no fans in there. Just the teams they're playing right now. The Raptors are winning, so that's a good thing. And the best thing is that no one was hurt in all of this. This was initially called in as a 2-alarm fire. This happened right around 8 o'clock. Some of the footage that we have, we got some great footage from fans, actually, who were inside under the speaker when this was all happening. You can see, you know, some small flames or sparks coming from the speakers. From what we heard, there was some smoke, and then people were saying that the sound coming from the speakers, it started to get distorted and slow down a little bit. So that's when they started to, you know, notice that something wasn't right. And then they heard the orders to evacuate Scotiabank Arena.
So you're a fan of the Toronto Raptors, the NBA team Toronto Raptors, right?
I am.
And you were telling me that you were watching their broadcast today and something unusual happened.
Yeah, one of the announcers, after like a crazy fire scare where he had to kind of act as a newsman, he kind of lost his mind. And he started talking about Ron Burgundy, but he accidentally said Ron Jeremy. And then the other announcer just lost his mind laughing, and he couldn't pull it together. And the first guy still didn't figure out what he'd done. And he just kept talking about it, and things went off the rails for like maybe 3 or 4 minutes. They just couldn't broadcast anymore. They didn't tell you what was going on in the game.
You've had a lot to keep track of tonight.
Well, we're news people now, so I got to make sure I'm providing accurate, concise information, right? I felt like a TV anchorman for a while there.
142 left, 92-67.
Was that a movie?
Yes, it was.
Be classy. See, San Diego, who was it, right? Ron Jeremy, is that right? Ron Burgundy? Anchorman. Ron Burgundy? I don't know. Ron somebody. Ron Howard. What did I say? Ron Burgundy, right? Be classy, San Diego. And he had the crazy jacket. Who did I say, Ron?
No, don't say it.
It's late.
Stop. Stop! Oh, no, you...
And that clip, of course, is all over Twitter right now. But so let me see. You said there was a fire. So there, this is, you're watching the broadcast of the rappers. Who are they playing?
They're playing the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
So and I admit I was watching it on delay, and I knew something had happened because my buddy was texting me. He's like, why? I see smoke. And then, but I know not to look at his text too closely during the game.
Because spoiler alert. Away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I also know that I was planning to watch the game after it was over and doesn't become available until the live broadcast is over. And it wasn't available for like an hour later. So I knew there was something went on. So I did watch it. And as the game was going on, like you saw all these firemen coming and like evacuating, but they were still playing.
What point of the game was that? Was it after the half?
It was late in the second quarter. And it seemed like if they were evacuating fans, maybe they should stop playing, but they didn't.
So there was a speaker on fire above people's head, and
yes,
they were just evacuating that area and just managing the fire department. Fire service was already there.
Yes, and then they played for about 5 more minutes, and then the announcers had to kind of stand up and pretend like they were news guys, and it was very dramatic. Like the in arena announcer got onto the mic and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please stay calm. But there is we're going to need to evacuate the arena." And then everyone goes, "Oh!" Like you hear this 20,000 people go, "Oh!" And then he's like, "Shh." He's telling the shh, which probably made them even more scared. Like, he's telling me, and then he's like, there is no threat to public safety. I repeat, there is no threat to public safety. But meanwhile, there's a speaker on fire above them. And he's like, don't look up, man, don't look up. And so, like, for, like, 10 minutes, they're unloading the stadium row by row. Like, everyone's trying to, like, artificially stay calm, right?
The entire stadium or just that
section? The entire stadium. Once they stopped the play. And meanwhile, so in that 10 minutes, the two announcers who ended up going crazy later in the broadcast.
They had to fill time.
They had to fill time. And they were reporting on the news that was happening. And people were talking to them, and everybody was kind of freaking out.
And they're getting a lot of information in their head, their earphones from their
and
producers.
And people were telling them in person, and they lost it. Like, they were trying to be reporters. They're like, and then they're like, they said the game is suspended, but we don't know if that means it's suspended and it's coming back tonight. We're getting more information as we speak. We're getting more information as
breaking
we speak.
Breaking news.
Then they paused for an hour, and when they came back, they lost their minds.
and so they began, like, this was during the play is back on.
Yeah, but the fans are gone, right? They didn't let the fans back in. They just started playing again.
That explains why in the clip the seats were empty. I thought it wasn't
COVID related. Right. It was a full stadium that was evacuated, and then they resumed the game, but they did not let the fans back in.
That's a strange set of circumstances. So now the game's back on and they're back to doing their normal play-by-play in color. But then somehow the play-by-play announcer, whose name is Jack Armstrong, he is a veteran. He wanted to refer to Ron Burgundy, that's a reference to, what movie is that again?
Anchorman.
Anchorman. This is Will Ferrell. An Anchorman, famous character. Okay, so what happened then?
He said Ron Jeremy instead of Ron Burgundy.
And Ron Jeremy is a, like, what, 80s?
Male pornographic star.
And infamous, because this guy was like...
I don't know much about how he became a legend, but he definitely became a legend. I mean, think about the millions of Canadian children who watch those Raptors games.
And so when he said Ron Jeremy instead of Ron Burgundy, the color guy, just because of all the tension that had happened, and the
play-by-play guy, yeah, he just thought, yeah.
I mean, was it the color guy that lost it, right? Jack Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong is the color guy. But yes, you're right.
Okay.
But I think you're onto something there. Continue. Like the tension was really.
Yeah, the tension. So what? Actually, so the person that lost it was the play-by-play guy. Okay, thank you. But yes, the tension that was in the room and the unusual circumstance in broadcasting. I mean, live TV is a stressful thing. One thing a lot of people don't realize is that these guys are getting all sorts of stimulating information inside their headphones, like time to cut to a commercial, okay, 5, 4, while they're talking. And so under normal circumstances, their brains are being like taxed already. And that's why these guys are amazing professionals. But this was so unusual that it was like maybe 5 times more stressful than normal. And so when he heard the Ron Jeremy thing, it was enough for him to just...
He lost it. And it was even worse that he's the play-by-play guy, because for about 5 minutes of the game, there was no play-by-play. You had no idea what was going on in the game, because this guy was just giggling like a schoolgirl. He couldn't stop.
And Jack Armstrong apparently had no idea what was funny about the reference.
No, and he kept talking.
You are listening to the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Yeah, so I ran into this article and, found this in Vice magazine. That dates me. Vice magazine started in Montreal as a free magazine that they paper mag. But anyway, Vice motherboard. Company plans to dig world's deepest hole to unleash boundless energy. The geothermal startup Quaise Energy has raised $63 million in funding to tap Earth's deep subterranean power. The basic idea is that they plan to drill deeper into the earth than ever before, creating holes that would extend a record-shattering 12 miles under our planet's surface. It's just a startup.
I like it. I like that a lot. I mean, that's... The core of the earth is a fireball. Why are we stopping at the oil level? Let's go deeper and dig into that fire. But what I think the unintended consequence will be is we'll discover multiple other civilizations down there.
Really?
Yeah, that drill, that $60 million like super drill, that's going to go through some schoolhouses, stadiums, parks. Like, it's a dangerous game to drill that deep. Once you're 12 kilometers down, you're in there. There's people living down there.
Wow. Listen to this. This company, Quaise, which is a spinoff from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So here's the headline, and there's apparently a picture of the strata of the core of the
that's beautiful to look at.
Inner core of the earth. And so the company called Quaise, which is a spinoff from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, so that's like, you know, pretty serious stuff, intends to pioneer a technology using vacuum tubes known as gyrotrons that shoot millimeter wave light beams powered by electrons in a strong magnetic field. Using these devices, the pump company plans to burn almost twice as far into the earth as the deepest holes have ever made, such as Russia's Kola Super Deep Borehole. Borehole. Say that 3 times.
Borehole. Borehole.
Both of which extend for about 7.5 miles. But anyway, the idea is they're going to reach into this untapped source of deep earth power which is geothermal power, rather than building it, which is the way they've been building it now, is near, like, up close to the surface sources of heat, or near volcanic faults, things like that. This is awesome. It's like,
I love this startup. Can I put like $50 into Quaze? Quaze sounds like a stomach medication.
But here, I have to respond to your point about civilizations, the planet. The article finishes, and while it may seem slightly unsettling to plumb the depths of our planet in this way, Arrak is confident the technique, thus the CEO, is confident the technique will not disturb any kaiju or lizard people in underground lairs, or condemn Earth to the same fate as Superman's planet Krypton, according to an interview in New Atlas. Notably, though, he did not address the Lovecraftian risk of awakening Cthulhu and the Ancient Ones. I'm not exactly sure what that reference is, but it's obviously to something by H.P. Lovecraft.
Well, you never want to wake the Ancient Ones. They're just going to ask you to do something.
But, like, the goal of these super deep holes is to access a limitless amount of renewable energy from the heat deep inside the Earth. Does that sound like something... Do you believe that?
Well, it's basically just the evolution of the straw. They're just sticking it really, really deep and sucking up power. So what do they call them? Vacuum tubes? It's just a straw. Come on. Some dude's at the top sucking on that thing.
Check it out. I mean, we know it's startups. Like, we should check out this thing's pitch deck. But, you know, startups, they have to really, like, get you interested and excited and say things like, we're going to probe unprecedented depths where subterranean rocks roil at temperatures of 930 degrees Fahrenheit, 500 centigrade. For limitless. I always kind of think when someone starts using the words limitless or unprecedented. Yeah.
That said, like, I could see a train. You know how they used to roll coal into the train's engine? I could see a train that was connected to the steam pipelines coming from the core of the Earth, you know? Like, if we go back to a steam society, this is what this would create. If you had any, if you could just boil water from the steam of the Earth, like, when you turn the hot water tap on, it's not coming from the city anymore. Like, a giant drill goes down beneath your house, and then a huge straw appears, and like everybody starts sucking on the straw, and then fucking magma and shit starts coming up in your kitchen, and you're like, fuck, it's getting warm in here. I don't need to turn on my electric heaters.
Like, you would have to go kind of like, in some ways it would look like a step back. You know those steam radiators, the hot steam radiators, water radiators in older houses, but these would be filled with molten lava.
Yes.
Not hot steam, just actual lava directly. I see.
Yeah, I believe if you could bring the lava from the core of the Earth into your hearth, you could warm your house.
Yeah.
You could probably cook a mean steak, too.
Like, they might be onto something about this. But yeah, Dave, I'm gonna wind this down.
Okay.
This recording. And say the next deep dive, one of which, look, we've already done some interesting conversations for, is either going to be stuntmen and daredevils from the 1970s and 80s, who, what we can learn from them and their exploits, and what motivates them, and like why someone would jump off the CN Tower twice, for example, or the future of cities, in which, for example, you actually said that in the future, it's not the future of cities, it's the future of city. It'll only be one city.
The megalopolis.
We'll see where that goes, but...
I like it. Let's go to the big city where, no matter where you travel, I guess if the world is only one city, you don't even need to worry about hyperloops because you're already there.
Yeah, that's sort of that's a good preview of what we talked about, actually. And
And Australia is just a neighborhood. Really long fucking subways.
So wait, I think this is the first in the series of conversations. And I enjoyed it. I think it was pretty cool. And I want to do this more often with everyone. And yourself and Leah and Hans and also Autumn. And, you know, yeah, Bob's your uncle. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Me as well. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
Thank you, Dave.
You have been listening to the many colors of the Kaleidoscope Gallery.